We're in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, and you recall in chapter 13 that the Philistines were about to attack and they had split up into three groups. Now the armies of Israel aren't real big, but here they are, they're ready to go. Saul had proven to you and I where his heart was. So often we give our hearts away, and every once in a while, someone is bold enough to call us on it. Someone is bold enough to call you and I and say, hey, your heart's not right. Well, we just rip them up with Scripture. Pistol whip them with Scripture. We're good at that. But they're right. Many times. And you see, Saul has given his heart away. He's revealed something. We can't miss it. And that something is simply this. He doesn't have a heart for God. He doesn't really want to do the things of God. What he wants to do is his own thing. He wants to, as long as it's convenient to do what God says, that's fine. But if it does get in the way of vacation time, or if it gets in the way of his plans or his workload, what happens is God takes the second spot and Saul says, I'm king, I can do this. I'm in charge here. I do this. I run this. And Samuel said to him, Saul, you have done foolishly. You've been a fool. Kings and fools, you don't want them to be the same thing. But you've been a fool. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God. And it wasn't that you didn't understand the commandment. It wasn't that you didn't know it. It was that you just outright decided, I'm not going to do what God said. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel. But now the kingdom shall not continue. Or your kingdom, thy kingdom, excuse me. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. I'm in chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. He went and looked for a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. We already know who it is. But Samuel doesn't know who it is. Saul doesn't know who it is. Right now, only God knows who it is. We know because we've heard this story before. But the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. Pray for any man or woman who wants to, or who God puts in leadership, that they will simply do what God commands them to do against all odds. Against all trouble. Against anything. Not that they're perfect. Of course they're not going to be. But pray for the leadership in the ministry. It's not just here. There are ministries around this city, around this county, around this nation. It's a big responsibility. Because wartime doesn't go without its troubles. Now Saul is incapable. And we start chapter 14 with his kingdom taken away from him. But he's king. He is still the king. David hasn't even been anointed yet. And when David is anointed, he's going to spend a little over 10 years hiding. Although he's been anointed king. It's an interesting study there. But watch this. Now remember, the Philistines have come against them and they're in three groups. They've split up. They've separated out and they're going to try and surround Israel. Now it came to pass upon a day. Once upon a time, there was this day that Jonathan is the son of the king's son, King Saul. The son of Saul. He said to the young man that bare or carried his armor bearer. Come, he said this to the young man that was his armor bearer. Hey, let's go over to the Philistine army in this specific area. It's on the other side over there. Let's go over there. But he didn't tell his dad, he didn't tell the king that he was leaving. He says to his armor bearer, hey, let's go today over to the army. Know something? And we'll talk about his armor bearer in a second. armor bearers had to be really loyal people. They would give their lives for the one they served. They had to be courageous, brave men. Because their job was to stand with this other in battle. Well, you picture yourself as a young armor bearer. My job is to clean up after Jonathan. He cuts somebody. I make sure they're dead as we go through. Plus, I carry his armor. I have to protect him. I give my life for his if it comes to that. Remember, David, later on, will become Saul's armor bearer. Brave man, courageous man, and loyal. Ready at any moment to give his life for the one he served. And he says to his armor bearer, "Hey, let's go over to the enemy." "How many of us?" "Just me and you." "I can't. My mom, I have to check." That's not a wise thing. Alone? Just you and I against, we don't know how many are there. They've broken up into three groups. Are you sure you want to do that? Yeah, let's do that. Now, if you're Bible underliners, notice Jonathan is saying, "Let's go see what God wants to do today. Let's just go see." Well, he didn't tell his father. And Saul, is the king, his father, tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. So Saul has 600 men, soldiers. Remember, the only two that were armed with swords are Saul and his son Jonathan. All the others would use farming implements of some sorts. And he is there with 600 men. But Jonathan and this armor bearer, these two men, they go now, they're headed over to the enemy's camp. And Ahiah, the son of Ahidab, Ichabod's brother. You remember Ichabod, Eli's grandson? Ichabod means the glory is departed. The son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh wearing an ephod. And the people knew not. In other words, the priests were there and all, but the people didn't know Jonathan was gone. No one knew today. Jonathan got up in the morning and said, "Let's go over to the Philistine garrison." And there they go. But they didn't tell anyone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over, this is verse 4, into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. Really rugged terrain, high, tall rocks. So what the Bible is going to describe for us is a small little passageway through really craggy, sharp rocks, high rocks, and a passageway through them that you'd still have to sort of climb. There was a sharp rock on the one side, a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward and against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. What you're seeing in King James language is one is on one side, one's on the other. There's sort of a way to get through. You'd have to climb, but that's the way you're going to get through. You're not going to go over the tops of these tall ones, and you're certainly not going to go around. It would take too long. You're going to go through this almost like little passageway, and you'll have to climb up the rocks to do that. So now that it's sort of described to us, sort of given a picture, we see this. Jonathan said to the young man that was his armor bearer, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us." Here's what he's saying. Let me say it in our language. Let's go see what God wants to do. Let's just go see. Have you ever had the courage in Jesus Christ to do that? You get up today. Now, notice this isn't something stupid. This is not something foolish or foolhardy, if you will. There is a battle prepared. The Philistines have come out to fight. There is not a question of should there be a fight. There is a question of where should we handle it? How should we handle it? Who should attack it from what direction? Do you understand that there is a fight going to be, like it or not? Now, in our day and age, I feel the same way. I feel like there is a fight. The enemy is coming against us hard. And you see it all around you. So the question isn't, should there be a fight? The question in my mind is, how should we do it? Where should we do it? With who should we do it? And what are you going to give us? What kind of parts and pieces do we do it with? And Jonathan says, let's go see what God wants to do today. God might want to do something. And that's what he says to his armor bearer. He says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Now look what Jonathan says to his armor bearer. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. God doesn't need the whole army. Here we are, it's just you and me. Now if you don't mind, I say, let's go see. Let's just go see. God doesn't need hundreds of thousands. God can do anything. That's faith, don't you believe? That is faith. Somebody says, there's a fight going to be. Let's go see what God wants to do today. Let's go out there and just see. Now, he's not going to do anything stupid. Well, in theory, I don't think scripturally you should put the Lord your God to a foolish test. For instance, I don't think you should go on the roof here and jump off head first and see if God will send angels to stop you right before you hit. I just don't think that's wise. Now, if God tells you to do it, tell us first. I'm trying to decide how to say that politely. And come and tell me. Don't call and tell the secretary or Ray. Tell me. I want to hear it from you. Okay? Please. Because I don't believe God would expect you to jump out in front of a train and say, I think with my mind I can stop it. If God wants it to stop, it will. Well, then stand to the side and see if God wants to stop it. It's not a lack of faith. Put a penny on there and let it get crushed. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus taught us that. Well, Scripture teaches that, but so he's not putting God to a foolish test. This is a battle that must be. It's going to have to be. Let's go see if today is the day and how he wants to do what he wants to do. Don't be so faint-hearted. Now notice two hearts. One of them says, let's go see what God wants to do. And where is that someone? Out there near the battle. Out there within shouting distance and eyesight of the enemy. Hiding behind rocks right now. And he's saying, let's see what God wants to do. You know, God can win a battle, whether he's got a big army or not very many. Remember Gideon, he had 300. They took out well over 250,000. Put them on the run, 300 guys. God can do it. Jonathan was a man of faith. There's a heart that says, let's just go see. Now, if God, he's going to show you in a moment, if God says a certain thing, Jonathan's not going to even enter the fight. Okay, we'll clear out, we'll get back. God's saying no. But let's go see. At least he's a man of faith and wants to check. Now, Jonathan is there, ready, right now to go fight, and he's going to check with God and see if that's the case. But there's another heart. Where is the king? My Bible says he's sitting under a pomegranate tree. Does your Bible say that? Maybe not sitting, but he is there under the tree. What is he doing? Well, I don't know. But I know this. He's safe. He's got guards posted. He's not near the enemy. You know there's going to be a fight. He's relaxing under a pomegranate tree. Probably got his tent there. He's got his feet up. People are waving little fans and he's thinking hard. Maybe he's got his generals in there saying, okay, now if they attack from here, and it's all talk and it's the war room. So there's a heart back there that's always planning. Nothing wrong with planning, but you'll notice there's a heart that says, let's go. Let's go see what God wants to do. I believe Saul wasn't prepared to fight. I believe here He wasn't even thinking about a fight. When you are relaxing, even if you're thinking about the battle, God's going to use somebody else. Because you have to be full of faith. And you have to be ready. And you have to know where the fight is. You have to know. You just have to know. You cannot stay back relaxed under the pomegranate tree. Somebody has to be a Jonathan and say, let's go out there. Let's just go see what God wants to do. If God says, no, we'll come on back in. If right now is not the time, well, He'll tell us. That's faith, if you ask me. You know, David, later on, as he's been king for a while, he's going to be relaxed too. He's going to be comfortable, and there's going to be a fight going on, and where he should have been out there ready to join in the fight, everybody else was out there fighting and he was at home relaxing, bored. Well, I'm the king, you know, I better be careful. And so he's just walking around the roof, staring at the stars, bored. He should have been out ready to fight. Saul should have been out there with his son, but it wasn't on his heart. It's not there. And you see, he can't pretend that it is, because all along we've seen the heart isn't correct. This heart is not correct. God is speaking to us. And He says, where is your heart? Where is it? You say, well, it's with you. Take a look at the last 3 weeks of your life and you will see where it is. Have you been complaining? Have you been looking for relaxing? Have you been whining? Have you been gossiping? What have you been doing? Has it been for God and in the battle? Or has it been talking about the people out there? Where's that stupid Jonathan? And what is he doing out there now? He is always doing that. I don't like him. I think he's got a lousy attitude. He's always looking for a fight. That Jonathan, he bugs me. Wait a minute. You know where your heart is. Now your heart's going to trick you. It's desperately wicked. But you know. You and I know. We know. And if you catch yourself going, you know, I might be under that pomegranate tree making war plans, yes. Then you ask God what He wants you to do about it. Saul was not ready for the fight. But Jonathan says, let's go see. Let's just go over to the garrison of the Philistines. God could do it. If God wants to do it, they could do it. He could do it with a lot or with a little. God can do anything. And his armor bearer said this. No way. No. His armor bearer said, you do all that is in your heart. Or let me put it another way. I am with you all the way. Now the armor bearer just said, I am your armor bearer. I will give my life for you. If you say God tells me and you alone to go fight the Philistines, and we don't know how many are up there, if you say that's what God says, count me in. What do we say? May cost a little money. Someone might get hurt. I'm out. Count. I got a dentist appointment. Oh, forget that. Now I thought. Now you hold it. There's a heart who says, steps out in faith and says, God can do this. There's another heart that says, if He tells you to do it, I'm with you. Now that's a courageous man as far as I'm concerned. That little guy is a brave man. Because he's now going into a battle, if God says so, two men against however many are out there. And Jonathan's faith says, that God could do it with a few. Or He could do it with a lot. Oh, God could do it. Let's go see. Would you love to hang around that guy for about 6 months? That's what I believe Paul was like. Let's go to Philippi. Oh, are you crazy, Paul? They'll stone you to death there. They did. And he got back up, went on into town and visited again a few more times after that on his journeys. Would you like to be with somebody like that who you think, oh my goodness, he's nuts. He said this. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Do you notice how Jonathan sees the fight? Hey, God might want to take this fight. And if God takes it, you and I are just sort of be there, you know, working. God's going to do it. We don't need the other 600 guys and my dad. Let them relax under the tree, then we'll go back and we'll tell them what happened. But if God wants to do this, if the Lord's with us, maybe the Lord will work for us. Let's see what God wants to do. What a thrill to go see what God wants to do. Did you know that God wants to do in your life? You think He doesn't like you. You're afraid He's mad at you. You know that He's been listening to what you've been thinking and saying. And you know all those things. And you're starting to squirm. But God says, I love you. Repent. Jonathan says, perhaps the Lord will work for us. Psalm, you can write these down if you'd like to get these scriptures. Psalm 27:1. Now this is for you and me. This is a promise for you and me. Listen. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is nobody. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If I walk with God, there is nothing and no one to fear. Nothing and no one. When I'm not walking with God, when my heart isn't right, I better not say something to so-and-so. Oh, I'm afraid of what so-and-so's thinking. Well, I think there, that group, I think they don't like me. See? You need to walk with the Lord your God. Because when you do, the Lord is your light and your salvation. There is no one to fear. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, no good thing will He withhold. That means He will not withhold any good thing from those who walk with Him uprightly. Jonathan seems to know that. Not from reading it in the Psalms. That Psalm hadn't been written yet. Jonathan knows his God. And he trusts Him. Psalm 118:6. I like this one. You can. This is a promise for you if you want. You can claim it. Tear it out of your Bible and stick it on the mirror. Or under the whatnot shelf. On your refrigerator somewhere. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, isn't that good? How could you be stopped when you know God is on my side? I'm on His team. We win. I can be knocked down a million times, but you can keep getting back up in the strength of the Lord because you know this. We've got this victory. All I got to do is keep playing until the whistle blows. We've got this victory. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know what the answer is? Nothing. God, you know, I think I've told you this. They tried to burn Polycarp at the stake. Remember? He was a disciple of Ignatius, a disciple of John the Apostle, there at the church at Ephesus. And I've told you this before, but let's just do it again anyway. There he stood, tied up as an old man in his up around 90. And that was when they said to him, we're going to burn you at the stake unless you reject Jesus. And he said, I can't. How can I reject my Lord? He's done so much for me all these years. How could I turn my back on Him? I can't do it. So you'll have to burn me at the stake. Me, I'd be going, well, I don't want to reject Him, but you don't have to burn me. Let's talk. I mean, maybe we can work this out. I'll tell you a joke. You'll love this. Really, it's going to make you laugh. Untie me. I need my hands for it. They got angry at Him. They said, you can die an old man in your bed. He said, not interested. I will not turn my back on the Lord because He has never turned His back on me. Now that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they said, we'll burn you at the stake. And they said, you know, we want you to know the whole world stands against you. Remember His reply. Then let it be recorded that I stand against the whole world. Now that's got to be hard to stand there and stand against the entire world, all humankind. Then every one of you, fine, burn me. And do you remember that they had all that dry straw and they tried to light it and it wouldn't light? You won't even burn if God says no. And they tried and they brought flames and big torches and they couldn't burn this man up. They got so angry, one of the religious people got so angry, he grabbed a sword from one of the guards standing there and he threw it at this old man. And it went right into his heart and killed him instantly. No suffering involved. Just as they got the fire lit and the blood put the fire out. That's church history. You won't even burn if God says he'd rather have you stabbed. There's a positive. Isaiah 50, verses 7 through 9. For the Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded or confused. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will fight with me? The answer is obviously nobody if God is close to you. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old, grow old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up. They'll grow old trying to stand against me, and it won't happen. I have set my face like a flint. Have you yet said, I am not going to turn? By your grace, God, let me walk with you, and don't let me stop. I asked him, don't give me another day off. Just let me keep talking until I'm finished. I don't want another day off. Have you said to him yet, I just want to see you? Sometimes you're out here on the job site that God has got you in. It's not a bummer. That's a blessing. You can earn a living and be a light right there. Don't say, I'm getting tired of this. Just say, Lord, you give me the strength. Give me this easier life. Give me the stronger back. Give me what I need to glorify you right here in this stuff right now. And don't let me stop no matter who comes against me. And no matter how much it costs, don't let me stop. Romans 8:31 and 32. Everybody knows this one. Usually the New Testament rings a little more familiar. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely, or how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Isn't that what Jonathan was saying? Let's go see what God wants to do. See, if God wants to fight today, if the Lord worked for us, it's little or big, doesn't matter. He can do this. That is a faithful heart. There's a heart back there that's back away from it, and there's a heart here saying, I want to get into this. I want to go. They called this week from Southern California, and Sudan is practically lost. And villages are destroyed. If you read the letter on the board, you know. If you didn't read the letter on the board, take a look at it. You need a strong stomach to read it. They're burning people up. They're destroying it. They're bombing it. They've taken the villages over. And the people are being mistreated and abused. And they called me and said, we're going Saturday. We need to make an emergency trip because we're able to get a Sky Pirate and we can get some food in. And even if we can only save one person, we're going to go. Can you come with us? And I said, no. You know how hard it was to say no? Because, see, inside, I thought, we got to get over there. We should take the whole church over. Get a big plane. I said, no. Because I said, you know, I can only go if God tells me to go. I'd be a fool to do otherwise. And God, right now, is not saying that. So, I don't know what He's saying, but I don't think He's saying that. So, and then He asked me an interesting question, and I could tell He was a little nervous. He said, it was interesting because he said, I thought you might say that because you've been with us twice in the last year. He says, and I know it's expensive and it does cost the church quite a bit. And he says, but as we pray about this, we're not real comfortable. So he said, would you be willing to join the extraction team in case we cannot get out? In other words, an extraction team goes in, and it's a whole different situation. It's a combat situation to take them out because the government won't do it. He said, would you be willing to be on the extraction team and get us out, or at least attempt to, if we can't come out? I said, absolutely. It's just like, I think, the armor bearer, you know? There are some things you can't say no to, and there's no way we could leave those men in there with no help. Of course, they have God, but, and I think about this, you know, he didn't spare his own son. He delivered him up for all of us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is good all the time. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's the demons, the false teachings, etc. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Once you begin to honestly believe that, your life will change. Once you begin to believe, God can do anything. He is able. Once that clicks, once the Holy Spirit is able to lock that into your heart, you will be so powerfully used that this whole city will hear about Jesus Christ. Once it gets into my life and I begin to know that I know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Nothing can stand in the way of the gospel. The gates of hell will not even prevail against it. And we are to take the gospel out, not wait for them to come and ask for it. It is offensive. I should say offensive and offensive. And I love the heart of Jonathan's armor bearer. Loyalty, courage, commitment. Well, let's see what happens. Jonathan said this in verse 8. Behold, we will pass over to these men. And we'll discover ourselves unto them. That means, let's head on up closer and let them see us. There's a great plan. Let's go over here. We'll pass over here. We'll get up to where they can see us and we'll make sure they see us. There's a plan. If they say unto us, stay there, you Israelite dogs, you. Well, and we're coming down there. If they say that, we'll stand still in our place. We will not go up and attack them. Remember when Gideon put out a fleece? If this is wet and this is dry, if this is dry and this is wet, if everything's dry and nothing's wet, if everything's dry, remember? What he's saying is, let's just see what God wants to do. You have a plan? No. So here's what we'll do. If they tell us to wait here, then we'll say that's God telling us not to come any further. All right? Now there's a simple plan. Now God, is he in control or not? If he's in control and they say wait there, what do you think Jonathan's armor bearer are going to do? Not going to attack. They're going to hold back. They're going to get out of there. Why? Well, because we'll just take their words as words from the Lord. So if they say, don't come up here, we won't. Isn't that good? There's a holy attack. There's a way to look at it, isn't there? We prayed about doing an outreach to the community. We picked August such and such a date. And then we decided, if that doesn't work, then August this date. And if that doesn't work, then move it back 1 week, August this date. We go, and what do they say? Your choices are July 31st. What do you think we did? We'll pick July 31st. I think it's the Lord. I wanted the end of August. But if God says July 31st, fine. It just turns out to be a Friday. Just so happens we were trying to pick a Saturday. Just so happens we always go to church on Fridays, at least when our voices are fine. So I don't know what God's planning to do, but you see, God, we'll just let God pick the date. And he did, didn't he? So we'll just let God bring the people. Now we will invite others and go pick them up in large vans. True. But you know God's going to do it if it's going to be done. And he's, our God is so big, as the song says. Well, if they say, hey, stay there and we'll come down there. He says, then God is saying, don't go any further. Stay down. But if in verse 10, if they say, hey, come up here and we will, what does it say? If they say, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hands. That'll be the sign. We'll just let God tell us what to do from this point. We'll show ourselves so they can see us, and then we'll let God tell us what to do next. God will tell us by what the enemy tells us to do. Wait there. God's saying, don't go. Come on up. God's saying, let's go. It's that simple. And the armor bearer says, Are you sure? It's not that I don't think you're a good leader, but you're just a man, and men make mistakes, and could I go home and pray about it? Do you see the difference between a man who is loyal and courageous and committed and a man who doesn't trust God? There is a difference. I didn't say Jonathan was perfect. I didn't say he never sinned. I didn't say he never stole or cheated or lied. He probably did all those things. All I said was, he says, let's go do it. Somebody says, I am with you 100%. Now you're saying the same thing to God. I will give you life. You're saying, God, I want it. I accept Jesus. And I'm with you, Jesus, 100%. Jesus, let's go over here. No. I'm mad. I just don't like it. Then I'm not with you. Had the armor bearer said that, Jonathan would have been alone. Okay, now if they say stay there, we'll just clear out. If they say come on up, then that's God telling us. If the armor bearer would have said, no, man, I don't trust you. Oh, it's not the Lord. It's, here, listen to us. Of course I trust the Lord, I just don't trust you. So Jonathan, forget it. What do you think Jonathan would have done? You know what I think? I think Jonathan would say, well, give me my stuff. Because if God says go, I got to go. If God says stay, I'll go back with you. You want to wait around to see? No thanks, dude. You see, you're not putting your trust in man and women. You're putting your trust in the Lord. Where our problems come in, as we begin to believe what we hear. Hey, I don't know. I don't know if she's really that smart. I hear she's not that smart. I hear he really doesn't know. Jonathan, I hear he got bad grades in school. He didn't pass his GED. His dad's king. He signed the thing off. Really? I don't know then if I ought to be his armor bearer, even. I mean, nevertheless, go out into a battle where it says he and I. Oh, I didn't know. Thank you for looking out for my interest. Man, his armor bearer would have been listening to someone taking him out of the will of God. Do you see the point? Do you understand what it's all about? Don't you see that's why it is so hard to be in the ministry? Because you're going to answer for every decision you make. And oh my goodness, what if everybody voted on it? This is what everybody wanted to do. Aye. So 500 people say aye. And if the pastor goes along with that and it's not what God said, do you know who's going to stand there and answer? Not all those people who voted yes, but the dummy who went with the majority. Don't you see? We all have to listen to God. We all have to pay attention to Him. You need to find a place, just like I need to, we all need to, where we can submit to the authority there. No one here would ever force you to submit to any authority. This is not a cult. That door swings both ways. It goes in and out, and you can too. I can't. Unless I'm fired or thrown out. You see, Jonathan is sort of in it for the long run now. No matter what his helper is going to do, Jonathan is now committed. I think many of you understand that. Sooner or later, we give our hearts to God for real. We're committed. We love everybody around us, but it doesn't matter what everybody around us is going to do. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We will serve Jesus. Now, if everybody says no, we'll still do it. And that's the kind of hearts that we need if we're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Jonathan, he's going to die, pretty young man. Kind of wish he'd have stayed around, so does David. But anyway. All right, let's see what happens. And both of them, verse 11, discovered themselves. They let themselves on purpose be seen to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, hey, there's Hebrews. The Hebrews have come forth out of the holes where they hid themselves. Now look, the enemy, the Philistines, what do they think? They don't know who these two are. They just see two Hebrews. What do they think? The Philistines thought they were seeing two Israelite deserters. Remember the people who wouldn't join the army? They ran to hidden caves and behind rocks. Remember that we read in the chapter before? They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to be a part of it. And so they went and hid themselves. They were what the Philistines called deserters. Now the Philistines are guarding this little area. They look down, they see those two, and they go, hey, a couple of them have come from hiding under the rocks over there and hiding in the caves. A couple of them, they said. And the men of the garrison said to Jonathan and his armor bearer, hey, come up here. What's God say? Go for it. Now, where the rubber meets the road is, are they going to really, two of them by themselves, go up that hill? Do you know the work is going to be involved in climbing to get to where the Philistines are? They're going to be tired when they get there. Hey, come up here and we will show you a thing. In our language, literally, they're saying, hey, come up here and we'll teach you a lesson. That's interesting. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, let's go. I mean, there's no hesitation. He says, follow me. Let's go. I don't expect you to go first. I'll go first. God just said, let's go. So he begins to climb. For the Lord has delivered them into our hands. Hey, the fight hasn't even started yet. And Jonathan says, we have the victory. God's delivered them already. Let's go get them. I like that attitude. That is good. Our coach used to do that when we played football. You can beat these guys. Matter of fact, you've got them whipped already. Just get out there and play the game. Yeah! And then you'd lose sometimes, but still. The idea was there. The heart was right. You can beat them in your street clothes. That's just the girls' volleyball team. And we'd still lose. But still, he was encouraging. Now, Jonathan's got the right heart. Hey, we got the victory. Let's just go get them. This ought to be easy. Jonathan, look, climbed upon his hands and his feet. That means that there were times when he's on all fours climbing up these rocks. Don't you think he's going to be tired when he gets there? Don't you think that would be on my mind? Oh, I'm wearing myself out. By the time I get to the top, I'm not going to be able to swing this sword. Maybe not even lift it. Are you sure it's a good idea? Climbed up, hands and his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. Meaning, Jonathan was cutting them up, and his armor bearer was making sure they were dead, as Jonathan is just fighting away here. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within less than about a half an acre. Those two, Jonathan cutting them up, the armor bearer finishing the job so Jonathan could stay busy, took 20 men by themselves. Those 20 men, every one of them had swords. Remember, the Israelites don't. Jonathan does. His armor bearer is just carrying their armor stuff, right? And a stick or whatever. It was God who did the battle and won it. And the first slaughter Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, as it were, half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. So a little less than a half of what we would call an acre. There was trembling in the hosts in the field and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They all shook and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. The earth even shook. And the armies, the Philistines, were scared. What's going on? The Philistines or the Israelites are attacking. Both of them. We better run. And the watchmen of Saul, they're back there under the pomegranate tree. They looked and behold, the multitude melted away. So many soldiers were retreating. It looked like the army was melting back. And they went on beating down one another. They were fighting each other. Then one said, then Saul said, of course, the watchman told Saul, excuse me, had told the people that were with him, he says, number now and see who's gone from us. There are some Israelites fighting. They're chasing the entire army of the Philistines away. You see the three groups starting to fall back. Count, see who's missing. Well, everybody was there except Jonathan and his armor bearer. Two men are now defeating the Philistine army. And Saul said to Abiah, bring here the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. It came to pass, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Look what Saul's going to do. The army is already running away, fleeing, retreating, but even though the victory is sure, Saul isn't ready to join into the fight yet. How come? Because his heart wasn't to be in the fight to begin with. He was under the pomegranate tree making war plans and discussing the wisdom of, well, how should we do this, how should we do that? But there was somebody God was using to defeat the army. And now that the army is running, you see them running, you would think, let's go get them. Saul says, you know what, let's bring the ark out and maybe we can start to carry the ark and march on out there and see what's going on. What? Three kinds of people in the world. Those that make things happen. Those that watch things happen. And those that stand around going, what's happening? You're one of those. I believe God has called us to be people that make things happen. We've got God Almighty living in us. Who can stop us? According to Scripture, no one, nothing. But you do stand alone. Sometimes it's just you and your armor bearer. Well, as they go, Saul is ready to do a little religious thing here. It looks spiritual, but you see, a heart of a real warrior would have said, I got to get out there. I got to go out there. The army's running away. I should at least catch a few of them and get them. Well, it came to pass while Saul was talking to the priest that the noise became so great from the host of Philistines, the fighting, that he just had to stop this whole ceremony. Saul said to the people that were assembled themselves together that had come to battle, he said, behold, every man's sword, or he was talking to them, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. That means the Philistines started fighting each other. They were so panicked and trying to get away in such a hurry, they were pulling their swords and just swinging and killing each other. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, some had joined their team, which went up with them to the camp from the country round about. Even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Saul is finally coming out to the fight, to the battle, finally. Likewise, all the men of Israel which hid themselves. Remember the deserters? And when they saw the armies running, they came out. Those who were hidden in Mount Ephraim, when they heard the Philistines were running away, even they followed hard after them. Even those who had deserted when the army was running, finally they came out to chase the army. All of Israel is now involved. So, verse 23 says, Jonathan and his armor bearer saved Israel that day. Is that what your Bible says? I don't think so. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over to Beth-Aven. God rescued Israel that day. Jonathan will give him credit. A man or a woman of God with a heart after God will always give God the credit. You must give God the glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory. He is good. Great things He has done. If God be for us, who could be against us? We can only stand in that kind of power if God's really there. I remember getting into a fight one time when I was little. And this kid was tough. And my dad told me, you know, sometimes the world is that way. Now, I don't think it's good that you fight, but sometimes you're just going to have to stand. And I thought, cool. This guy's going to kill me. And I walked up there and I talked to him and I said, you do that again. You know, you get tough. And he backed down. He backed down and he turned. As a matter of fact, he ran. I thought. And I turned around and my dad was standing right behind me. Just in case. Now, had I been there by myself, cancel Christmas. Some of you, you're not walking with God, but you're standing up against the devil. And you're saying, oh yeah, he's not going to run unless your father is standing right by. He won't even say a word to you. He will scramble. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will run away. He will flee. He won't just back away slowly. He will run from you if God Almighty stands with you. And there's only one way, God Almighty. That's through Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. You must be born again. Not a joke, but for real. And giving your heart over and willing to say, let's go see what God wants to do. Because sometimes God will say, wait there. Okay, Lord, we're waiting. Sometimes God will say, let's go for it. Come on. And when He does, let's go get Him because we've already won. Pray about these things. Read your Bible. See if these things are so. And then ask God to change your heart and work in our lives that we would be used so that others would come to Jesus. Let's pray.